A little bit more about, you know, Vieta Bekutcha, you know, what the line is there. Just a little bit more about those things probably will lead a little. But I do want to start at least a Shaka Vitaria on Pshara on Sunday, if we can, hopefully. So I'm not going to give you so much to look, just to get an overview first, and then Sunday I'll give you more. But again, as I said, starting from the Gemara here on Hey Omid Beis, to go through the Shaka Vitaria, the bottom, Esnei Rab Shimon, because we did till there. We did any Odeya. So basically, Esnei Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, right? Hadin b'shlosho p'shara b'shnayim, yafakoach p'shara v'koach hadin. Just for the first go round, let's just go through, at least through Vav Amud Beis. At least through Vav Amud Beis. And just go a little bit more also, the machlokas, whether mitzvah l'vtzoa, asr l'vtzoa, but especially, at least through Vav Amud Beis, the top. Nigmar Din, Iyatol Rashai Livtsoa, at minimum, let's go through with that. Again, they're just a little bit more, you know, the deos, Osir Livtsoa, Kolobotseya Rezachote, Kolomavarech Esabotseya, but those are just to go that quickly. But in terms of the major Shaka Vitaria, till Vav Amud Beis, with the Tosas in, Gemarashi Tosas, look at the Rambam, and also the Riaz. In the Shilte Giborin, we'll speak more about it, or in the, you know, in the a better version of it in the Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin Gedola series. If you have the Chidushei Hariyaz there, and also just in conjunction with that, because that's part of the initial story, is the Gemara later on in Zaborer. I think it's, no, I didn't write the daf down, but I think it's Lamed Aleph. Is it Lamed? No, sorry, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. Starting from Dereish Lakish Rami, okay. Ksiv Tzadik Tishpat Amisacha, Ksiv Tzadik Tzadik Tirdof, Okay. Tzad Kan Bedin Meruma, Kan Bedin Sheina Meruma, and then I'm really interested in that's just an introduction. Ravashi says that Echad Adin VeEchad LePshara, right? How do you reconcile Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof and Tzedek Tzedek Tishpat Amisach? Interesting. And then Shtei Sfinos until the end of that Gemara, until Hatel Pshara Benei Mumalos Schar Zulazu. Okay, so that's Lamed Beis Omid Beis. And just how do you read the Psukim, Rashi and the Adrama on Echad Adin, Echad LePshara? And then we'll add more. But that's to get the overview of the issues. You'll see it's going to fit. Hopefully right in with things that we've been doing, and especially in the beginning of the year, because this is the question of Pshara is very much a it's on the forefront of the question of the relationship between obviously Din and Shalom, the pragmatic part of Din as opposed to the idealistic, you know, part of Din. That's one part of the story, or one way to look at the whole issue of Pshara. The other part of it is to think of it not so much as, you know, Shalom, you know, versus Din, or, you know, pragmatic solutions versus idealistic ones. But the other way, of course, to look at it, this is the whole topic, basically, is in a nutshell. The rest is, you know, Zil Gmar. But maybe that's not the only way or the best way to look at it, but maybe the best way to look at it is, you know, flexibility in applying the ideal. In other words, a low plug ideal, which has to be a little bit bureaucratic. That's what low plug is. In other words, it needs to be uniform because it applies across the board, as opposed to, you know, ideal halachically value-driven solutions that are more flexible. So this is a big issue in Pshara. And of course, Kibbolah is a good, connection to that also. So that's what we want to look at, and we'll do Kibbolah later as well. Speak a little about Kibbolah even today. Okay, so that is the thing to start looking at in terms of Pshara. And again, look at Shulchan Aruch a little bit before that. If we don't get to fully what we want, where is it? Resh Mem base a little bit on some of the Erevin parts of the Sukkah. Okay. But we still are in the middle, not in the middle, but towards the end, but there's still things that we need to discuss. and they are as follows. I think the last thing that we were discussing was the question of Talmud al Yorelim ke Natal Rishus Meirabo, and whether or not that is modern smicha or not. Maybe we'll speak more about that also if we get a chance, but I want to get too bogged down in it. So as we noted, the Rivash and Achuva basically suggests that is discussing this problem of the Maram Halevi and his suggestion that smichas morenu and any kind of appointment requires the centralized authority to sanction it, something equivalent to like the Nasi. And basically the Rivash's argument is that he has really four different formulations, some of which are that Talmud Yorelin Kenatol Rishus Mirabo has nothing whatsoever to do with that. It's all about Kvod Rabo. How does it fit in the Gemara as we discussed? Because not that you don't need some sort of sanction or status, certainly that makes a lot of sense, but it's only the counter pressure of Kvod Rabo, right, that would impede the mechayev, if you will, the urgency of Talmud Shehigia Lahara having the achrayas to be done. Or no, maybe there really is some sort of real licensing aspect even in Talmud Lerabo. But again, it's a din in Rabo first and foremost, and maybe there's not even a tachlif in Nasi. Again, Maram Halevi basically might have been arguing that Rabo is a tachlif for Nasi, not the other way around. And we already saw in the Chiddush Eran, right, in his formulation, second explanation for the Ramban, that the other way, but again, the connection, that Nasi is a tachlif for Rabo, but that you would require some sanctioning. Again, according to the Rambam, it would seem that, at least the din of Kabbalas Rishus Mirabo, right, is only, the Keva and only the Chayav, and so on and so forth. The Rambam has Kulas and Chumras, and we saw that other Rishonim disagree, and they think that there's always a requirement of licensing. And so this is a very basic argument, and there are a lot of nuances, how we see this whole issue. So the Rivash basically argues that the smicha of Ashkenaz is the smicha of Talmud Yorelim Kein Natal Rishus Mirabo, and the Rama quotes that as well. Noach brought to my attention something which I had referred to in our one of our Monday sessions when we were going through broader issues of smicha, and especially the 16th century controversy. So I think when I talked about the history of it a little bit in the beginning, I mentioned that the first president of Yeshiva University, or it wasn't Yeshiva University then, I guess it was Yeshiva College, and Yeshivas Eitz Chaim, maybe, or I'm not sure when, maybe it also, but I think in his time it already turned into Yeshivas Renitz Bochanan, Dr. Dov Revel, has a piece in a magazine called Chorev about Smicha. So I think I mentioned it then, and Noach brought to my attention again, where he disagrees with the, historically with the Rivash, and he says that's, the Rivash was, from Spain, and this was his view of Ashkenazic smicha, but that real Ashkenazic smicha is, really patterned after, classical smicha. So it's interesting. Maybe we'll speak more about that if we have a couple of minutes. But one of the things that we've been trying to show, and I want to get into that back into that in a moment for the Marik and so on, is that even if we take the view, even the view that puts Talmud Yorelim Kein Natal Rishus Mirabo front and center, may agree that that is connected, in some respect to classical smicha. Again, that's the ha'ara that we keep making in the Ramban, who has, both the innovations of Hilchos Talmud Torah, but at the same time, the inclusion in Perek Daled. And we find this as well in some of the discussions of the Marik, and a little bit in some of the things that are codified in Shulchan Aruch. But that's a very interesting question of how we look at Smicha Bizman Hazeh. As I think I mentioned, the Abarbanel in Vav Aleph, in his Parish on the Mishnayos, thinks that, that the idea of titles and so on, in Ashkenaz came from secular influences, and others strongly disagree with him, so that's an interesting argument. We also know of the Ksav Smicha of the Re Barcelona in Spain, which was certainly patterned, it was written for his time, and again, he did seemingly extend it, at least somewhat, to even the notion of Smichas Yadayim, that he apparently had a different gears on the Gemara in terms of that being limited to Moshe and Yeshua, but as we saw, he, thinks that there are certainly aspects of Smicha which apply, in a certain dimensions of them, even the Chutz La'aretz and even Bizman Hazeh. So this is a very lively and interesting discussion about the nature of this and the conditions of it and how connected it is with original Smicha. Again, the fact that the language has always been used and many of the dinim have been co-opted surely shows that even if technically there are differences, and there are, and the expansive and rigorous requirements then may not fully apply, but certainly the spirit of Smicha L'Dayanus, Karolei Rebbe, both on the stature level and in terms of the license level, certainly seem to be part of that story in a very important way, and continues to be. So one of the issues that comes up that I wanted to pursue further, I think this is what we're up to, was the din of Roy Lahoros B'Kala Torah Kula. Because that is controversial even within classical Smicha. Again, it doesn't appear explicitly in the Bavli. The we know, it got its prominence from the Rambam, codifying it in Perek Dalet, of Hilchos Sanhedrin. That's part of the Rambam's dialectic, right? That, on the one hand, you can selectively limit a samuch in terms of his practice, right? And one of the things he mentions is, Yora not Yatir, or Yadin and not Yora. Those are the examples that the Rambam gives. And you can limit him temporally, in terms of, you could say you can practice, till next week or for 2 years or until somebody else comes back. At the same time, you have to be Roy Lahoros, even if you, are Mora, in more limited fashion, you have to be Roy Lahoros B'Kala Torah Kula. So as we discussed, numerous times already, that's a fascinating halacha. It needs to be understood better, needs to be defined better. I think we'll discuss a little more today, hopefully. But, it bespeaks both, possibly either or both, of the stature, Karolei Rebbe, therefore he has to be that walking Sefer Torah who has that. Moreover, it bespeaks of, in addition to the stature and the holistic nature of that, but it also may imply the sense of attunement of Kol Torah Kula and the impact that has, this bigger picture and perspective, this, instead of looking at things piecemeal and, compartmentalized fashion, but this, again, integrated understanding of Kol Torah Kula, it brings something, to everything that you do, which is why, I always like to say that, no matter what you're going to end up doing, personally and professionally, Leidas Kol Torah Kula isn't just a good aspiration, it is, but it's a shiur in being an Oved Hashem and a Talmid Chacham who, is going to be effective in any area. So let's say that, mostly you're going to be dealing with questions in Hilchos Shabbos or Kashrus or, let's say even if you're going to be a rabbi in a community, so most of your shailas are going to be, in Hilchos Nida and Avelus and, you're going to be a teacher in a school, and let's say or you want to be a teacher in an elementary school, so you're going to teach Amafkid and Eila Metzias and all those good things, or whatever, not some other level that you're going to teach, or maybe in Yeshiva Gedola, but one which doesn't teach on a regular basis, Zvachim and Menachos, Kalim and Machshirin. So how much should you be investing in your own development and your own education, in these more esoteric, let's say, realm. They don't have to be even esoteric. They could just be the ones that... So, of course, no one is suggesting that, that one shouldn't, consider these as factors and that they shouldn't, play a role in in weighing how much, you know, emphasis. No one is saying you should be learning as much Zvachim as Sukkah, but I really believe very strongly that, you know, whether it's in the other things that you learn or the way or the depth that you bring to the learning of the topics, you say, well, I'm never going to need that Balamor and Ramban, or I'm never going to need that Yerushalmi, or that Bala Itur. First of all, sometimes you do, but you know, I think the bigger question is not only the ambition of Leidas Kol HaTorah Kula, which itself is something, it's an amazing accomplishment, and it shows a certain Avas HaTorah, but I really honestly believe that, you know, those added dimensions, you know, they round you out as a, you know, an Isha Eshkolot, as a kind of a, you know, halachic Renaissance man, and you know, it makes a difference. You're a better fourth grade Rebbe, and you're a better, you know, Rabbi, even if you're mostly dealing with these Shilas, and you're a better, you know, Rebbe in a Yeshiva Gedola, even if you're not going to be actually learning Kachin, but you have, like, you know, Bimino Machriv, Shalobino Lo Machriv as a paradigm in the back of your mind, you know, or, you know, others, both Hashkafically and Halachically. So, the idea of Roy Lachoros B'chol HaTorah Kula, as we know, is a really fascinating idea. Again, everybody wonders where the Rambam got it from. We've discussed this. I'm just bring us back to where we were in it. Some of the Nosa Kalim speculate that it's based on the Tilas Rishus Gemaras here in the Bavli. The Rambam himself mentions that it's based on, and others discovered it, Yerushalmi, you know, in Chagiga. But the fact that, you know, how that fits in with our Gemara here is very fascinating. And it raises the question, you know, whether or not. It raises two questions. Number one, where do we apply Roy Lahoris B'chol HaTorah Kula? Let's say there are reasons that, more technical reasons, that you can't be Moreh B'chol HaTorah Kula. You know, where do we draw the line? Okay, that's something we've talked about a little bit, and I want to expand on today if we have the time in the end. Or maybe we'll just do it now. But it's a topic that needs to be built on and added to. But also the other question, of course, is that is this something unique only to Smicha, or is it really also applicable to, you know, the Netilas Rishus Meresh Galusa Min Anasi, and also to Talmud Al Yorah LMK Nato Rishus Mirabo? So that question of the application of this very ambitious concept, right, to these other elements is a dual question, right? It's a question of how we look at these different institutions, you know, and the more, you know, they overlap, and the inspiration of the most classical one continues, you know, to pervade, you know, the sensibilities of the others, the more this becomes a possibility. Now, again, you could say that, you know, these are dilutions, you know, especially Talmud al-Yor, when there's no actual smicha, there's no dine nefashos, and so on and so forth. And therefore, Lamaisa, we, you know, we don't have all of the rigorous requirements. That's different than saying that we're still not inspired by, you know, by the classical institution of Smicha. Or no, maybe we're not. That's the thing too. So there's always a double question. The question is, how do we look at these 1, 2, 3, you know, different institutions? And the other one, of course, is how exotic, let's say, and therefore specifically oriented only, let's say, to the highest form of all this, is the requirement of Roy Lahoris B'chol HaTorah Kula. The more you think that it's a very reasonable requirement, you know, both in terms of stature and in terms of attunement, what I'll call attunement, so, you know, you certainly, you know, would want to apply that to the other phases. Whereas if you think it's something more Xeris HaKasuv, it's Chiddush even where it is, Enuch HaBala Chiddush, it's more exotic, you know, it's sensible when you're, you know, going for the gold. You know, you want to be in the image of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, you know, it's a requirement, walking Sefer Torah only, you know, that's one thing. But, you know, otherwise, maybe substantively, it doesn't contribute in the same way. And in theory, at least, you also might want to be mechalek between, if indeed there are different aspects of Roy Lahoris B'chol HaTorah Kula, if we're mechalek or open to being mechalek between different dinim, then what you might say is, you know, we have as we're applying, you know, Roy Lahoris B'chol HaTorah Kula to these other institutions, you know, we might not apply it at all, or we might apply it fully, or we might apply it, you know, in some respects and not in others. right? And we might apply it in the areas where it makes sense, you know, and very it contributes a lot, but maybe not in the ones where it's more like a gzeres hakasuv or a technical, you know, requirement. You know, you have to be able to step into any, you know, situation. Maybe that we don't need, you know, in some of these other phases. So that is something to look at. So as far as the actual, before I get to defining Roy Lahoros in a couple of cases a little bit more, just to get this on the record. So we have this Tshuva of the Ramah. Do we have it on, back here? Do we have it? Or is it Simen, the end of Simen Chaf Daled, where, and the Nosa Kelim in Shulchan Aruch, Pesachei Tshuva, and others also make mention of it. It's known. Where the Ramah does seem to say that the smicha b'zman hazeh, that the din of talmid yoril and kinnatal b'shus mirabo, requires that a person be roi lahoros b'chol haTorah kula. Do we have the text? Yeah. What?
As soon as the projector turns on.
Oh, okay. Anybody have it on their computer very quickly?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Adam? The horu el birshus rabban v'hayu nisharin bekach v'lamash hotro hotro hayamora rabban kemora shemaim aliyem adal bizmanenu zeh she'ein bodkin mesefer torah v'lamayla v'chol mishen nikra v'shem morenu hu hoter v'chol davar v'ein tarach l'shus acheres nira de'in lachshir l'chatzoy
de'in lachshir l'chatzoy.
Yeah. V'hari kazav harambam v'hedya de'in somchen l'chatzoy ela kishiroi l'kol. אבל כשאין הרוי לכל אין סומכן לחצוי, זה כל הרוי לבילה אין הבילה מעכבת בו. וכל זה כוסף הרמב״ם בהדיה פרק דל מנוחו סנהדרין, עד כמה צעתי בהתקה.
Yeah, so this is the Ramah speaking, and it's clearly he's drawing from smicha of the Rambam. Again, the formulation, kol haroi lebila ein bila makeves, is very fascinating here. It's always fascinating when it comes up. So we're not going to speak for, but obviously that integrates into our discussion. What does this really bring, you know, to the table? Is it the, you know, just the capacity to operate in, you know, interchangeably, or is it that, you know, kol haroi lebila is always a shiur? That's a debate in kol haroi lebila, but there's plenty of evidence. There are plenty of rishonim at least to think that kol haroi lebila is a shiur. In you have to have that capacity, because the capacity, you know, kind of defines, you know, the category. So I think that's that. The Ram doesn't say that this is meaning kol haroi lebila, but the Ramah does. And while the Ramah here is kind of already acknowledging that, you know, maybe this isn't so obvious, what he's saying is you need somebody who, you know, who has that stature. But either way, the idea that the frame of reference can be Perek Dalet Hilchos Sanhedrin for Smicha Bizman Hazeh is very, very fascinating. What we know is that in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, that he was kozer on that, at least b'dieved. Again, I don't think he was saying that it's ridiculous or ludicrous or that it doesn't make sense because there's no... What he was saying was, we're not going to hold you to that b'dieved. So I think in general the language... This is the Ramah weighing in... I'm sorry, did you want to ask something?
Yeah, are we saying that this is the same thing as we were discussing before, but you need to write a clause
or a I think so. The ain that the... He's speaking about ain somchim le'dvarim... you know, achadim, that you have to have that capacity.
Isn't one a question of bifurcating the permission between different things, and one's a question of how much
even you're saying, of course you have to have royal horus kol haTorah kula, but the question is, can you even just give him smicha only lemiktzah? That could be, that's possible. Which in general was part of the discussion with the Rivash and so on. But it's drawing off the Rambam. He's quoting the Rambam.
Say
that one more time.
And maybe you don't even need the same standard that you do for smicha for nitiyas rishus. You need brother kol haTorah kula, but you still can't bifurcate. You can't give rishus for something specific.
Oh, you're saying maybe you don't need roi lahoros b'chol haTorah kula in smicha, but whatever smicha is, whatever is nitiyas rishus, you can't bifurcate that. Maybe. That's an interesting read. Very interesting. Either way, the citation of Perek Dalet as a paradigm, because you just might say mechatesi, right? So the question is in the Ramah in Yoredeya, is he saying mechatesi or not? So again, that That's open to question. I just think the whole piece is worth... Do we have it on the screen? The Rama. The actual Rama. Yeah, Shlomi, you want to read it just for this? I think it just has to be... It's a very classical piece of the Rama, where he's basically, you know, in very succinct fashion, there are like, you know, seven layers here, or six, you know, it's not a cake, but... seven layers? Yeah. Six or seven layers here, which he is processing. So again, the question, there's a lot in here. You know, what, if you ask me, part of what's important about this, you know, Mashal Lamad Over Dome, you remember last year, we talked about, you know, Chuppah. So there's a Ramah there too, right? You know, it could be this, it could be that, it could be this, it could be that. You know, there's just a lot in that Ramah in a very short space. So here too, it's all, you know, he's basically weighing it all, basically saying, yeah, there's, you know, there, where you draw the line and how you, you know, relate to smicha in our time is a very controversial matter. There are a lot of different perspectives. You know, there's a lechatchila way to look at it all, you know, a preferable way, an ideal way, and then, you know, there are the fallback positions when you really have to make hard decisions, like especially b'dieved when things happen. So this is like a model, you know, piece in the Rama, you know, of these layers. So go ahead, just Hagah. By the way, this goes on. It's also interesting. Again, what is halacha yadalid? Kol chacham shigia lahara. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Right. That's the other side, right? You know, the, if you're mora hara. When you're not Roy, that's even worse. But, you know, we need competent and responsible Morei Horah, you know, the people who don't want to, you know, grab the, you know, the authority, they're the ones who you need to do it. Okay. So, again, that's just interesting in its own right. So, and again, we know in the Tshuva of the Rivash, as I say, that this is like such a an important factor, because that's the weight and the counterweight. Right? The reason that you might... be able under certain conditions to, you know, proceed without even some formal licensing. If you're a gomer b'savir, is because we don't want to rob Klal Yisrael, like in Nebuch. You don't have a rebbe; he's no longer alive, you know. Or you're a genius in the basement and you figured it all out, and you know, you're really roy lekach. So we're gonna prevent you from paskening when Klal Yisrael needs you. You know, because you can't fulfill this this halacha, right? That's the counter side of it, right? So that's why it's in this context. Okay, once you know the Rivash, even though he doesn't quote that part of it, you know, that's clear. Go ahead. So inin asmichas shenago bizman hazeh. Go ahead. Oh, so that's also interesting. Meaning, right? It's important that there be some sort of, you know, public way to know this. Okay. Go ahead. Asomcho. Oh. Okay, that's also, that's a din, that's not just a din in kavod, but that's a din in ensuring, you know, kedeshe yedo amshi gia lahora. Right. Meaning, the Ramah too is basically suggesting that being mora bershus rabo, asomcho, is an aspect in, you know, a proper atsumim kol harugeha, of Yedu Shehigi Alahora. Okay, not just a Kavod Halacha. Okay, go ahead. V'lachain. Right, that's the Shitas HaRambam. And that's what the Rivash is trying to explain too. V'chain Talmud Chaver. Yeah, and that's the, as you see in parentheses, that's the Rivash. Okay, Udalo Kenachal Sabo, so that's the Abarbanel that we were referring to, Perek Shanu Chachamim. That's a sixth parak of Avos, where he, you know, takes issue with this whole approach. Okay, so that's one. V'yei Shomrim. That's the view of Marash Halevi, which he's quoting, right? V'yei Shlachush. Who? So again, he's not rejecting completely, you know, this idea. He is saying, he's quoting it as a Yesh Omrim, and then he's saying, Yesh Lachush, right? You know, we're not going to go so far as because again, there's pressure and there's counter pressure. On the one hand, you want to have high standards of the people who are doing these things, and maybe even the idea that their presence and sanction is critical. Ellie brought to my attention the other day, and I was going to say this as well, that one of the ways to explain, why, the Masada Kedusha, a proper Masada Kedusha might be ma'akev, the actual Ishus, goes back to, again, a topic that we discussed last year, and that is Kol HaMekadesh, Adata Drabanan Mekadesh, Kedas Mosheva Yisrael. We discussed then what the, whether it's implicit T'nai, or, especially if it's, this is the sanction of the Chachamim is part of what defines, the transcendence or the religious character, the spiritual character of the event itself, which we saw a lot of evidence for. That would be the basis for saying not only that there are two aspects. One is, if you don't know 100% that it was overseen by somebody who's qualified or low plug, to militate against improper, not only supervision, but with lack of supervision, proper supervision, what might take place. So we're going to invalidate these things, in order to, secure standards for them. But if it's more than that, and it's that, without the proper overseeing. Ein kiddush of kiddushin, ein chalitzas of chalitza, ein gitav gitin. So then you're getting into the area, that we of kedas Moshev Yisrael, at least in expanded form. Anyway, so he basically the Rama is yesh lachush, but obviously it shouldn't be done lechatchila. The gitin v'chalitzan shenasu, right? Shenasan im lo sheyadua, meaning yesh lachush. You should really be worried that maybe they weren't done properly, or for the Shita of the Marash Alevi, that even if they were done properly, that, you need this kind of authority figure to give it this stamp and status. Hard to know. But Imlo Sheyadua Lakol, right? It's also an interesting formulation. Right? To overcome that, you need Yadua Lakol. Shemum Chalarabim Hu Rak Shemitzad Anova Veshiflus Eno Mevakesh Gedulos. Okay, so that's also interesting. Not just that he's competent, but that again the character aspects of it, are what are responsible for his not having a smicha, as opposed to what are perhaps lacking, as reflected by the fact that he doesn't have a smicha, namely Kvod Rabbah. This is also very fascinating. The language is very good here. Keep going. The Yesh Cholkin. That's the Rivash themselves. And then he adds on the next level, that's why I said there are like seven levels here. What about that? What does he hold here? Ubamokom igun. If he did it already, so it's bidyevet, and there's bamokom igun, right? You can't do it again, let's say. Meaning this is going to be the difference between and you think that it's somebody who mitzad anova v'shiflus and uvashke shadulos, etc., right? Then you can... you can operate in this way. Okay. Avalo b'derech acher, and this is also interesting, ki min hagan shel Yisrael Torah. So that, again, kainirali. That gets a kainirali. Min hagan shel Yisrael Torah means what we've been talking about all year also, Mesorah, meaning, and not just, they happen to do it this way, but they're doing it this way is something which we revere and value and think reflects a certain hashgacha, or the wisdom and input of Chachmei Yisrael throughout the generations. And therefore, not empty nostalgia, but the likelihood that this is the right way to do it and reflect a certain perspective. Okay. The Ode Nearly. Go ahead. Now he's dealing with a different topic, right, but which also comes up, and that is not, if he doesn't have Morenu, what happens, but again the question of whether or not you can grant a specialized moreno. Okay, that's the question. But ordinarily, go ahead. Yeah. So the question is how to read this line. So of course, on the one hand, and especially in light of the tshuva, where he took a different position, you know, the invoking of smicha shabiyamim harishonim, you know, puts it in a certain line. At the same time, he is making the chiluk. So when you say eina ela netilas rishus b'alma v'shari, that means it's just kavod and has nothing to do with smicha, and therefore the paradigm is completely wrong. You could read it that way. I don't think it makes so much sense given the tshuva, and I don't think that that's the tone of everything that he's saying here. I think what he really means to say is, of course, even if this is in the image of smicha, right, that doesn't mean that you know, but we're not acknowledging that it is a lesser smicha, both in terms of its requirements and in terms of this, you know, this particular point as well. The Shach Alatar does say that this is a reference to the Rambam, which totally makes sense. If you look at Sifka and Chapes, he says Avapishus Bidina Smicha Shaviyam Marishonim Kasav Rama Perigdal Dachos Sanhedrin Hushia Roy Lechol Advarim. Right, Ketzad Chacham Mufla Roy Lahoros Chol Tarikula etc. Yesh Lebezin Lismok Velitan Rishus Ladum Velahoros. And this, of course, in light of the tshuva, makes sense. That is the reference. But Smicha Bizman Hazeh Ein Elu Netilas Rishus Bialma Velamasha Roy Roy. Okay. Again, Isaac's point is one to take into consideration as well. Namely, are we dealing only with the question of, or primarily the question of, Roy Lahoros Chol Tarikula? Certainly, that's what the Shach is discussing, or even the question of you know, whether you can divide them. But anyway, you can always divide things if they're Roy Lahoros, but okay. I'm Sof Chuvas Barali Ben Chaviv and Ari Beirav Chuvas Ibn Chaviv Kuntras Binyane Smicha, some of the issues that we also were exploring. So this is a very, both the Tshuva of the Ramah and the Ramah himself on Roy Lahoros Chol Tarikula is very very important and very interesting. Okay. What's that?
Isn't there a most point that you can't divide even though he is right in the tshuva? His entire point is that then they can divide because whatever you got Rishos for, you would poskim based on that. But now,
in the tshuva, the point is that you can't divide.
Right, even though he is right, let's say.
Even if he's right. That's what you were saying before. Right. But that he certainly needs to be right. Sounds like. Because it's quoting the Rambam, right? So, in the Anshulchan Aruch, he's saying you can divide, right? And the Shach is saying you don't need to be roy. Okay, the Rambam, you're right, didn't say that explicitly. That's how the Shach is reading it. It sounds like he's, I didn't check. I should have. I did a while ago. I just not took in the last couple of days. Do we have the language of Darkei Moshe? Is it different? Because he's quoting the language of Darkei Moshe. Ulamasha Roy Roy. That we don't have. Anybody have that language of Darkei Moshe? If not, we'll look at it. I'll look it over Shabbos. Okay. So that's one very important area. The other two that I mentioned, yeah, you have it?
No.
Oh, yeah. What do you want to say?
I was just wondering, what's the word about already being polic in Shulchan Aruch about what you can use me for the time?
No, I just don't think that he is, because I think the whole piece is also drawing still, keeps calling it smicha and so on. But I admit that it's possible that he, you know, it just depends how you understand. Is he just trying narrowly to explain, you know, why you don't have this rigorous requirement? Or is he really backing out of the whole connection to smicha? We have a Darkei Moshe? Yeah, is it different?
Yeah.
So what does he have? Kasa Ram Michal Sanhedrin, Yesha Bezin Lismoch L'Dvarim Yechidim, V'hushia Roy L'chol Advarim, Ketz L'chacha Mufla, V'nir, Shizet Dafke B'imeim Shinoag Din Smicha, Abo Smicha Shol Zman Hazeh, he still calls it Smicha Shol Zman Hazeh, Eina Kulum Ela Netilas Rishos B'Alma, V'lamasha Roy, Roy. Again, it's hard to know. From the bigger... Eino klum in this rigorous application is the way, but he still calls it smicha bizman hazeh. He doesn't just call it. I mean, his smichas, the smichas he's talking about, is still patterned after. It's still yor yor yadin yadin you know, I don't know. I can't be certain. I can't be certain. We can be certain about the Tshuva Sarama, and we can, you know from others that this is the case. But anyways, the Marik is the other thing I wanted to look at. There are several Tshuvas of the Marik that are important that I wanted you to look at, and they get codified in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, Josh, you saw it?
Marik, no.
Yaakov?
I did not see the Marik.
You didn't get a chance to see the Marik? Yosef? Yosef?
No, I didn't see.
You're Yosef. Oh. Joseph. Do you like Joseph or Joey? What do you like?
Yeah, I saw a little bit.
What?
I saw a little bit.
Of the Marik?
Yeah, it's just a few lines.
Okay, who saw a lot of it? Both. Okay, we could take whichever one you want first. So what did you see? Kuf Yud Zayin? Okay, let's start with Kuf Yud Zayin. They're both very interesting. Here. This is the Tshuvas of the Marik. Right? L'inyan Sh'ilta. What happens? This is Kuf Yud Zayin. Just do it as quickly as we can. L'inyan Sh'ilta de Sh'ilna Kadamach al dvar rava sherotza lihistarer b'toras rabanus al rava cher v'amro shu samcha l'rav v'kibel hasmicho hasmichos mimena. Because they always call it, all the poskim pretty much call this smicha. I mean, whatever they're saying it's based on, including so the question is, what about lihistarer? He gave him smicha, does that make him, does that give him srara? Again, these, you know, the Srara issue is also very prominent in, you know, Sar Sakina and, you know, other psakim of and this is a very acute example of it. Giving somebody smicha, is that an act of Srara as well? So, Shema Samchala Bekibla Smicha Mimenu. So, does he have any power over him or not? Now, we're talking about Bizman Azeh, of course. So again, it'll be interesting to see, you know, both what he draws on. The more you think that smicha is something real, obviously, you know, the stature, a license, you know, as opposed to simply kvod rabba, the more this is, you know, something which is nitan to talk about as, you know, having impact in srara. That's number one. And number two, of course, you can then try to draw upon paradigms in the Gemara that are more substantive, whether it's smicha, right, or classical smicha meaning, or netilas rishos smireish kalusa mirabo. If you think that the present phase is just you know, hokus tamat Torah and that's it, then you're not going to prove anything by quoting those other things. Okay. I'm saying all that because of what the Marik is about to do. So what's his answer? Emesu shadas machras she'en lismoch lihistarer. His first, his muskal rishon is that you shouldn't be able to do this, right? Unless there's a din of Rebbe and Talmud, you know, just like there's a din of father and son, maybe, but, you know, per se, the person who gave you, signed your smicha, right, that, that's why I guess it's important to sign your smicha. The atum ibnesha samchalo. Fascinating, right? Ela shenagu, that's his initial muskal rishon, right? But then he goes on to, you know, to admit that that's not what the prevalent, you know, halachic view is. Ela shenagu margola pum kol shanismach kafuf lusomechoso, right? Vegam nir lani asdaiti lahavi leminag raya. Mehoda Garcina Beresh Parakama de Sanhedrin, right? Mehasim Lahakalo Mahani, Rabba Babarvuna, the whole story. Mashma Mikan, Daha, I have a knock at Rishusa Minayu, Shahayakofuf Lahem. Right? If he really was, you know, the recipient of his Rishus, then he would be Kofuf Avagav, the Pshita, the Rabba Babarvuna, Havagamar Basavir Tuva. Right, he had his own credentials. V'gamasha misham dafilu l'mili uchran d'loshaycha bedini mekaf havakayif lehu l'handed beirish galusa yavanokin rishusim inayu. It's very fast. I mean, how far does this go? Right. Is there some sort of kafuf, and does it extend only le'inyan matters of halacha, of paskening, of the rishus. In other words, he gave me rishus. You know, so inyan, what he gave me rishus over, I'm still kafuf to him. Or does it even go further than that? He gave me rishus. He made me, gave me certain stature. Or he transformed me, if it is indeed a transformation of some sort. It's a status, a stature. And therefore, even the dvarim acherim, that's pretty ambitious, right? Pretty remarkable. So what's fascinating, of course, is Masha Mikan, the Yavanakan Rishusaminayu Hayakafu, Avagav the Pshita the Gomer Vesavir. So he's bringing a raya for Smicha, his manenu, once again from the Tilas Rishus Miresh Galusa U Min Hanasi. Yeah, then he goes on to say, I'm skipping a little bit. Okay, so here, the second point is a reiteration. Now the second issue. And that is, let's say there's more than one masmich. So is there like a masmich rashi, and, you know, but you need a couple with him, sneef him, right? Or does that matter to anybody who's involved in this transformation? Interesting question. So again, his raya, the first raya is from classical Smicha. And this, of course, goes to the, you know, some of the discussions that we had when we discussed classical Smicha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Right? Well, how come Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is the only one mentioned when, if you need three somchim? Right? So, in general, why is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava the only person mentioned? So, if you hold this, as we know, there's a debate between the Rambam and the Ramah, right? Whether or not you need three smuchim, or one samuch and two others. So one of the rayas that maybe all you need is one samuch and two for a ma'isa bezdin, as we said, is the Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava emphasis, right? But those rishonim who disagreed made the ha'ara that no, you really need three smuchim. How come Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava? Because he was the most prominent. He was the Rosh Hashiva. He was the Moshe Rabbeinu there. Does the other were snifim? And that, of course, was an interesting point, both in terms of, again, this, you know, Nasi, do you have that even in a three-man court? Do you have one who, you know, one who stands out? Is it both, you know, is it integrated three? Is it, you know, three ones? If so, is there a chief one? You know, that's important for all those things. Anyways, part of the story here is the Marik is saying that when you have... You see from the fact that you don't need three, he's basically saying the same idea. You see from the fact that you don't need three smuchim, right, that there's a one and there's a two, or there's a one and there's a three. Right. So that doesn't, it's an interesting issue. And when you have three who are, you know, all qualified, is there still a one, you know, and a two? Not necessarily. You could say, well, when there's a one and two adyotos, that's, you know, objectifies it. But not otherwise. Interesting. So, but again, according to the view of the Rishonim that you need three smuchim, and that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is prominent for that, probably it's a stronger raya. Again, Marik is bringing the raya from the other side. But either way, quoting classical smicha in terms of the issue of being kafuf, right, when you're talking about smicha b'zman hazeh, is seemingly significant. So he both quotes from the Tilos Rishus and from classical Smicha. If you held that this was simply, you know, Hilchos Talmud Torah Halacha with nothing more, then it would be hard to justify all this. Yeah.
Somebody from Ashkenaz, if you take the Kantos and the in and out from the bottom, is it possible that Mayim Smicha is still Rishus be Rishus from the Nasi Rish Kedusa?
Say that one more time.
The Kantos and the in and out. Somebody who's not Rishus be Rish Kedusa or Nasi can then give Rishus over to others. So is it possible to say that Maimonides Smicha is still a continuation of actually...
Well, that, so that goes to that other tshuva, the Ribash, that we talked about, who claims that, number one, you know, there's a machlok, you're saying according to Tosas.
Yeah.
Right. But, so he was saying, number one, we shouldn't hold like Tosas because ain't a doma. And number two, even if you do hold like Tosas, you know, if you assume some sort of shlichus ayu, you know, or some sort of, you still need to have, you know, the mishaleach, you know, alive and well, or at least the institution of the mishaleach alive and well. So even if you hold that that's true, you know, it wouldn't be true in that case. I guess if you wanted to argue, which we discussed at the time, that it's enough to have a, you know, a tziruf to it, and that, or my idea that, you know, it's kind of all of Klal Yisrael. I don't know if you say all of, you say all of Klal Yisrael Tzmicha. I don't know whether you say all of Klal Yisrael. You know, but that's how the Shikusai is alive. It's alive through the collective. I don't know if you wouldn't say that through the Nasi and Reish Galusa necessarily. If you wanted to say those things, then maybe you could. But you'd have to be able to say all those things. But the Marik here isn't saying that, the, you know, he's saying, he's admitting, listen, he says Minhag, but the fact that he's basing on it is assuming, again, he's not necessarily saying it's the same, identical in every way, just like I don't think the Rama is turning his back on Smicha completely. I think he's saying, listen, it is a dilution. Being a dilution doesn't mean that the use of language and that the paradigms are completely wrong. It just means that, you know, if it's diluted, so maybe we don't have the same rigorous requirements, you know, throughout. But either way, quoting these things as paradigms is surely very, very significant. One second. Yeah. So this halacha, I'm sorry, this is the question? Yeah.
Is Marek assuming that for speaking of Manazeh, you need to have three somchim, quote unquote, I guess?
That's also a good question. We just not so clear.
Well, when I read it, it seemed that if you were getting smicha from multiple authorities, then you have the right to choose which authority.
Meaning the Marik.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't say you need three. He definitely did not say. He's saying he start again. The tshuva starts off by saying, let's say you got smicha from somebody, and especially if he isn't your rebbe, does he have the right to you know, lord it over you? You know, you know, does he have a right to, you know, to be mistorer? Right. He said, you know, I don't think so, because he's not your Rebbe. It sounds like he thinks the Rebbe could, but, or if the Rebbe was the Somek. But then he says, but, you know, it seems to be like most poskim think yes, and I think it's based on the paradigm of this. You know, and then he's going on to suggesting, however, let's say there's more, you're right, if there's more than one, then does it matter who the chief one is? And maybe you're only kafuf to the chief one. And that he's basing on both classical smicha and netilas rishus. He's not saying anywhere that you need, you know, just like you need three there, you need three here. That's true. That he's not saying. Okay. But this gets... Yeah. Do you have questions?
Just two things, yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, what's the raya that he brings right afterwards from Rabbi Bar Yochanan?
The other day, I said, Rabbi Raya Lechor Mihaud Rabbi Rahuna. Yeah, I think what he's saying, because he says, Rishusa me Abamari. Not that, you know, maybe what he was saying was, you know, even, not just like you didn't give me anything, but maybe the point is, you know, even if I got from you too, or I didn't need you at all, but the chief one is Abamari. Therefore, in terms of Kafuf and Srara, you know, that's the Kobeya. I think that's what he means. Anyways, he refers to this also later on where he's less certain about it a little bit. In what's the other one? Kuf Samachtas? So here in the towards the end of the piece. The ode, Shahre Nil'inu Limtso HaPesach Minayin Lanu Shiyah Nismach Kofuf L'Somech V'Hecha Remiza V'Av Kizeh Yamim Rabim Evesi Raya L'Zeh L'Marein Rav Reb Yitzchak Ali Borga, that is, Nahid Perakamah De Sanhedrin Daf Hei right? The same sugya. Kasher kasavti, gam eshtakad, beregensburg. Mikol makom, ein elu dvarim pshutim sheyismoch haposek aleim shalit starich lefarish devara. Meaning, I know this isn't so pasha. The gam kiktsas yesh litchos v'lomar de einu elalinyan din he shekofuv. Kiva de mikocho upator im tom. Maybe this is all limited to, you know, the exemption from malpractice, judicial malpractice liability. Right? So maybe the kofuf is in a financial area alone. That's fascinating. But maybe avalinyan isur she'ein derech lahoros be'inyan she'ischayiv maybe to be mechalek between Yisur v'Heter and Dini Mamadis, because Dini Mamadis, you know, is always has financial ramifications, whereas Yisur v'Heter can, but, you know, that's kind of more oblique, and therefore in the matter of Yisur v'Heter, maybe there's no, the Heter doesn't include a kind of Sror or Kofov. Oda filo te raya tova mikol makom pshita pshita de'ena lekfifus bi'alma. Moreover, even if there is a stin of kafuf, and even if it applies even to Yisur v'Heter, this goes back to what he said earlier, it's not the equivalent of Talmud the Rabbo, because that's about a whole relationship. Or I think it either here or he says elsewhere, you know, he's mevi olachay olam haba, that's a different. But tem rotzim lasoso yosar me'arav l'talmud, oh, sorry, shemevi olachay olam haba, v'zelei tachein klal. Ele gara tuva mitalmud l'rav, v'lo'od ela afil lomdo, the gam samcho in the bitsof niskachim anismach yochal kalav lahoris befanav, that based on something we'll discuss in a couple of minutes. V'choshken hechad aleke el esmicha bavad aydar pashat shereish lakish aytal but gamad Rabbi Yochanan, and so on. So here he's a little more reticent about this whole thing, but either way, what's fascinating is if you look in Shulchan Aruch, these mariks get codified lahalacha. Right, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ein Talmud." Oh, okay, we'll get to that in a second. Im lo kibel hanismach hasmicha miyad harav, hahu asomech aleide rabbanim acherim, v'hu nasa lehem sniff, ein lo oso harav lehistarer alav klal imeno rabo. That's based on the Marik. Avlim Samcho Levado, says the Rama, Nagu Shanismach Kofuf Ktsas Lesomcho, according to the Marik. The Chem Mishalomid Bishiva's Manacha, Nagu Lomer Shu Talmud, Bala Yeshiva Bishav Shashabala Yeshiva Shamiyoser Hidushimimenu, Yeshimin Hagami Elu Ikra Mashi Smoch. That's a quotation of the also the Trumas Adesha. So again, this gets codified. The basis of it is the Notes of Kalim point out that the Marik is basing it on Nasi. The other question that the Marik deals with is the one before it, and that is the question of whether you can give smicha in a city, right, in which the rabbo is present. So l'inyan she'elta, this is the very end of Kuf Samach Tes. L'inyan she'elta she'ilna kadamon im talmidcha yicholim lismoch be'ir or be'ayara u'be'maymed afilo hechashata moche hine davar pashut hu lefanai anir l'anias daiti de'en yecholim lasos chen mikal v'chomar b'anochas tfilin lifnei rabo u'ri'ia sakin sheharei ein l'cha srara gedola mizu u'behej amru Atosus parakamad the Sanhedrin, Shaloya Rabchia Rashoi, Liten Rishus Lerab, Ularaba Barbarchana, Beiro Shal Rab, Shalom Rishuso. Akanapsak Hashayach, that again is also a quotation of Rabbi Yisrael Bruna. Yeah. So here again, he's learning Smicha Bizmanazeh from the Tosus is talking about what? The Tiels Rishus Mereish Galusa. That's the Tosus that we've seen. So that is absolutely l'shitaso. Once again, and that gets paskined in Shulchan Aruch too. That's the pay. Ein Talmud yachal lismoch acherim bimkom rabo. That's considered giving smicha is considered an act of srara. That's also l'shitaso in terms of the kafuf part, and therefore kal v'chomer from other acts like sar sakina. And that's, I say, paskind in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, there are other examples of this as well. Not only the Marik, but the Marik is probably the most prominent, where you see this overlap between the issues and the topics. Okay, so getting back to Ein Roi L'Horus B'Chol Torah Kula for a couple of minutes, let me just talk about that, and then we'll go speak about other aspects of the Marik. So what is what are the parameters of Roi L'Horus B'Chol Torah Kula? Which, of course, in turn, reflect on what kind of halacha it is. That is something that is critical also to understanding. If you want to be machmir for the obviously for the tshuvas harama, or at least as a lechatchila, because I say even though the Rama rejects this as a requirement, it doesn't seem like he thinks that it's absurd. At least not to me. It sounds like he thinks it's not makim. So what is Roi L'Horus B'Chol HaTorah Kula vis-a-vis possibly even these different phases? So we know from the Rambam that there are two examples of it. What are the two? Adam? I said, what are examples of Ein Roi L'Horus B'Chol HaTorah Kula? One is Summa B'Achad Me'Einav, right? And the other one is? The other one is the one that we're most familiar with, and that is that he's not Roy, you know, in a different miktoa, per se, because of his, you know, knowledge, right? I mean, the Rambam, and basically it sounds that way in the Yerushalmi, you know, in Chagiga itself, but there are two issues, right? One is about knowledge and expertise, right? And the other is about you know, Summa Bechad Meinov. What is Summa Bechad Meinov about?
Practical ability to paskin.
Practical ability to paskin in certain cases. Right? Okay. So, which of these do you think is more mechudash? Or put it this way, are they different or are they the same? Are you surprised that these both are on the list? Or
I would assume that Summa Bechad Meinov is a less mechudash problem or requirement. I just think that...
Well, they're different, put it that way, right? Right. One is you know, is about expertise, and the other is about, you know, personal, you know, practical personal capacity, you know, to be done. Right. I could be a walking Sefer Torah and know every din in Hilchos Negayim, you know, but if I'm a Summa Miachad Be'Einav, I can't paskin that. Right. So if you're talking about attunement, you know. A shiur in, you know, a certain stature, you know, as a walking Sefer Torah, etc. Either of those points, you know, it's very obvious that, you know, Roi L'Horus B'Chol HaTorah Kula means that you know the miktsos HaTorah. Even then, there could be an open question, you know, about how we define that. Meaning, you know, the, you know, yesodos and the klalim and the values. Right? Or that's one extreme, right? That's a minimal requirement, one would think, especially for both of those things. Or it really means that you know, pass the every bechina of the Ritz office or the Rabbanut or whoever it is that's giving the bechinas, you know, on all areas. You're only going to paskin, you know, in this or that, but, you know, you really know with equal... you know, credentials, all areas of halacha, right? And the other extreme would be that you know the pragmatic part of it. You know, you certainly know the values and the principles. You know the details of the halacha, and you even know the applications of it, the practical part of it to implement them. You know what the halacha korkavun, right, is. Nobody's recognizing that? Who mentioned the Helige Kiv Korkovan? No. No, but very close. At least, by the way, I heard the story. You heard the story of Reb Chaim? No.
I guess it's the kind of story that can work out.
Victor told the story about Reb Chaim.
No, he just missed one.
I've actually been promulgating the story though, Rebbe.
It definitely would apply. But the way I heard the story, which is probably the way I told the story to Avigdor, is Reb Baruch Be'er, okay, who was a Talmud Reb Chaim. Yeah. Reb Chaim apparently had very good practical knowledge too. Yeah. And it seems like, you know, the Briskas themselves, they have a very good visual. I know the Rav did, and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and like they really see all these, you know, pictures also, which is surprising to me. But anyway, apparently Rav Baruch Be'er, had more. Rav Baruch Be'er apparently is somebody showed him the Kurkavan, and he said, "Ah, das ist der Heilige." He said in Yiddish, by the way, "Das ist der Heilige Kurkavan." So that's the point. You need to know. I mean, we get going back to our Gemara itself, right? Rav spent all those years, right, year and a half, you know, with those animals, you know, to identify. Now you can imagine that you need to know the yesodos of, you know, of Bechoros to be a Talmud Chacham, to be a comprehensive Talmud Chacham, you know, and the principles, you know, for the sake of attunement, you know, and you know, and saying, oh, there's a halachic paradigm in which that's clear. You know, that you, the next level is that you need to know the halachos in order to, you know, be considered an expert in it. There's a difference between knowing the sodos and so on. But that you actually need to be able to identify the mume b'chor, the heilige korkavan itself, you know, that in theory could be another level. Okay. So when we speak of Roy Lahoris, Chotar Kula, are we speaking about, everything and anything? Are we speaking about, you know, only the yesodos and the values and the principles, etc.? Or, you know, what about the middle category? Very unclear. Right? Similarly, if the other paradigm is Summa B'yachad Me'inav, so, you know, it could be that a person who's a Summa B'yachad Me'inav is puzzled for certain things, you know, especially for... Is the question is how any technical psul, or is there a difference? Maybe a psul which isn't some sort of a formal psul, maybe it's a pragmatic psul, maybe it's a psul that also reflects on, you know, the person's, not his character, but, you know, can cause issues like, you know, being akhzari, saris, for example, which is an issue. Yeah, Avram, it sounds like you want to say something. So I just want to spend a couple of minutes, just because we had spoken about it earlier, and it's a very important, it's a big and important issue, to speak about the two ksoses that I wanted you to look at. Right, I mentioned them? Zion, Aleph, and Beis? Aleph we had spoken of previously, and Beis again. Right? Did I give you that? Jonathan?
If it was in a previous set of Mechoros, maybe.
No, didn't I say you should also look a little more into Roy Lahoris Chotar Kula, and you should, I'm pretty sure I said that.
Definitely possible.
I did.
Off the
cuff. So you should look at the ksosis in the Zion Aleph and Beis.
Okay.
I just want to make sure I'm not losing my mind.
No.
They always have to check on those things. Okay. So the just very briefly, because I don't want to spend so much time on it, but it becomes very important if there is such a requirement in at least as a lekatchila in modern smicha, and the others as well. Basically, you have a discussion about Roy Lahoris B'chol Torah Kula in three different areas, right? For the Rambam in classical Smicha, based on the Yerushalmi. Remember that some of the notes that Kalim thought the Rambam got it from the discussions about Rishus Minasi or Reish Galusa, including the Bechor discussion. Right? That was the suggestion of the Kesav Mishnah? No, Radvaz. Kesav Mishnah, I don't know where he got it from. Right? Kesav Mishnah says, oh, he got it from the Babli about Nasi and Reish Galusa. Right, and Lecha Misha says, as the Rambam himself acknowledged in Pirshei Mishnayos and Bekoros, that he got it from the Yerushalmi. But if it is from the Babli, then it's an integration of these two sugyas, which is one of the things that we've been doing, the overlap of the three, you know, different phases. Okay. The Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos, in Bekoros, even though he mentions there that the Yerushalmi is the Makar, does seem to extend the din of Roy Lahoris B'chol Torah Kula to Rishus HaNasi Reish Galusa. Right? Something which is not at all clear in Perek Dalid, But which he does say in Pirush Mishnayos, in Bechoros. Even though he didn't need it in a way because he has Yerushalmi, but he does extend it, which says something about his view of Nasi, and that fits in nicely with the fact that he brings in Nasi and Reish Galusa, as we noted, in the end of Perek Dalet of Hilchos Sanhedrin. It seems like Rambam thinks that, you know, the classical smicha impacts everything, because he has Yori over too. Okay. But the question is, what about expanding it? So the Rambam himself has, you know, Halacha Ches and Halacha Yud. What about expanding? So the Ksos has this discussion about Ger, which we talked about earlier in the year, right? His the context is that Ger is done Chavero Ger, and Be'imo Yisrael, you know, he's done Yisrael, Medine Mamanis, right? But Achi Hei Avivimo Yisrael, he's not going to be done Medine, let's say, Nefashos, correct? In other words, Ger, basically, whether it's Imo Yisrael, and certainly Ger She'ein Imo Yisrael, has limitations. The question is, do those limitations impose a problem in terms of a Ger being subject to Smicha, right? In terms of the problem, two problems. In terms of this issue, the problem of Roy Lahoris Mechala Torah Kula. So that is the Ksos's discussion in Simin Zion Sivkot Nalit. The Ksos basically says, we talked about it for other reasons previously, that there's a debate between the Mordechai and the Balei Tosis and the Rush whether or not Ger done as Chavero Ger is Bikthia or Balikthia, right? So the Ksos says, in my opinion, it has to be like the Mordechai, Balikthia, because if it was Bikfia, it would require Smicha. And since he's not Roy Lahoros, you know, Dine Nefashos, it would be a violation of the principle of Roy Lahoros, Bechal Torah Kula. That is the Ksos's argument. Go ahead, did you want to ask something?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, is it because of these areas of Halakha, or is it because of the kind of Beit Din that they would have to sit on? Like a Sanhedrin of some kind.
I think it's, I'm not sure if I understand fully your question, but I think it's the second. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has to do with the Mamad, or the, you know, the level of Sroro, or Mamad, or you know, again, we talked earlier in the year, you know, is being a Samoch, you know, attaining, mm-hmm. is it a Minui? You know, we've talked a lot about it being Sroro. The Sroro issues are all over the place in terms of Psak and Kvod Rabo, and again, in the Marik, and if you hold Surba Rabban and Chazil and Afshe, unless you think that that's implicit Mechila, and then the question whether that works or not, it's also, you know, difference between formal and informal, which we'll talk more about, and which you know, determines whether the, you know, it's a Srara issue, you know, Bimkom Rabo and so on. So I think that that's the idea that different sitting on different Bate Dinim is a different level of Srara. And the Rav's idea that, you know, maybe there's Minui, I think we talked about Reb Chaim on this in the stencils earlier in the year, and the Rav's addition to that, you know, is there Minui, is it considered a Minui when you sit on a Sanhedrin? And is that for the Smicha, for Bezen Shel Gimel as well, or only for Bezen Shel Chaf Gimel, or only Bezen Shel Ayin Aleph, right? Where do you draw the line, you know, when it comes to some of those issues? So I think that is the point in the Gaverus aspect too. But anyway, the thrust of the Ksos is the assumption, A, that everybody agrees with the Rambam that you require Roy Lahoros B'chol Torah Kula. Again, even though, remember, the Kesef Misha said, I don't know where he got it from. He didn't say, I disagree, but he said, I don't know where he got it from. And he's, you know, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. But as you can see, the Rambam's impact, you know, again, the Tuvasa Rama, the actual Rama. No one seems to be arguing that in classical smicha that the Rambam's view based on the Yerushalmi holds sway. The only question is, you know, applying it to the different other phases, as we've been discussing, right? But so the Ksos basically assumes, but he's assuming this, in other words, for Tosis and the Mordechai. He's saying, well, Balei Tosis can't be right, because what are you going to do with Roy Lahoros B'chol HaTorah Kula? Of course, that puts pressure on the other side of it. Meaning, so if then the conclusion is, that's what are you saying? That ger cannot be done, chaver or ger, bikfiya, because that would require smicha. He can't have smicha because he's not roi lahoros, lechol Torah kula, because he can't sit on a bezin of dinei nefashos. So then what does it mean, ger done, chaver or ger? Right? So what does it mean? Belikfiya. Ah! But if it means belikfiya, right? So what are the implications of that, Avi? What's the problem with that? So blikvia, good. That part isn't the problem. The problem is.
That's kind of like obvious though. That without kvia, like they could choose.
Or instead of saying that it's you're right. It's because it's obvious, but it's worse than obvious. It's a problem because it's obvious then that he should be able to be done as chaver or ger, and it's problematic then. Continue the sentence. That what?
He would need some sort of
a shulia. No. He can be done chaver or ger, and you're saying, well, great, no kfiya, that's obvious, right? Correct? But it's more than that, because he can't be done
by Yisrael.
But if it's bili kfiya, just like it should be obvious, you know, it should be obvious in chaver or ger, and it should be permitted in a Yisrael, because bili kfiya. Right? So it puts pressure on the other din. Right? If you hold like Tosis and Tosa Rosh, so the pressure is to explain he can be Kofa Chaver or Ger. What does that mean in terms of Smicha? Right? But why can't he be Kofa Yisrael? Because that's an improper Srara. Oh, well, we understand that. But if it'd been, you know, Belikvia or Kiblo alive, that would work in everything. Just it's obvious and it's you know workable in all cases. You know the problem is if it's obvious that it should also be universally true, but it's not. So that's why the Ksos has to come up with the Ha'ara based on the Balamor. Another really says, listen, if a guy's not Gomir, can you do? First of all, he associates lack of Kvia with Kiblo alive. Okay, that we understand why. I'm not sure that kibbul alai lack of kfiyah. We've had this a few times in the year, right? We were talking about the Rambam also. But okay, but basically the Ksos ends up saying, according to Balamor, and if a guy's not a gomir, can you have kibbul alai? Well, that gets back to the Ramban and the Chiddush Eran. Remember the Chiddush Eran and the Ramban said that, you know, if you need samuch, right, hediotos. Akum, there's no kiblo alai. That they both say, right? Ramban says, Akum, there's no kiblo alai, but hedjot, there's a kiblo alai. Right? And the Kiddush Aran argued that even hedjot, there's no kiblo alai. Okay. Whenever there's no kiblo alai, we know two things, right? One, that kiblo alai is not pure eschaivos. Two, that it's a standard, in other words. And two, that you know there are limits to being able to be machshir through kiblo alai, but that becomes a fascinating category to look at, a good litmus test, you know, things that are like, you know, fundamentally, you know, excluded, and the chiddush is usually the ones that are excluded, not so much the ones that are included. So basically what you have to say, and this is what the Ksos says, is that, you know, afilo hachili yisrael asur Mishum d'chsiv mikerav achecha tosim alecha melech kemosh pirush Rashi dayan, right? Umasha kasev atosis farash b'li kfiya l'masar liyisrael. That's what they say. Efshar the asur hu. That's what the Bali Tosin and the Rashi say. Like if there's no kfiya, then there shouldn't be any problem. Efshar the asur kemodan mi she'eno gamir v'lo savir. Tafilu kiblu alai lo mahani kabalaso bein ta bein lo ta kemosh kasev avalamor dashera hu demikri. The kama psulim the psili afila bekabala, the chaim bezei osra Torah ledin lifnei ger ladun rather lifnei ger sheino achim. Meaning, if you are going to say this, take this position. Now, is it obvious? Shua, is it obvious to equate a ger with an enogamir in terms of being an asherah? Certainly not. Right? I mean, you could say, well, he doesn't have a shame, you know, dayan, you know, and you need a shame dayan, or a shame dayan, or doesn't have the it basically heightens this chisaron. Frankly, I think that there is a little poetic, you know, consistency in this. Poetic, but namely, we're trying to figure out what is and what is not a factor in Roy Lahoros Bechal Torah Kula, right? So obviously, either what we're saying is any factor, no matter how technical, or it too is a litmus test in how technical a factor this really is, right? The more fundamental the flaw or the exclusion, the easier it is to still say that it's in a Roy, that you do apply in a Roy Lahoros Bechal Torah Kula. So I'm just making the point that the Xos, right, who thinks that Geirus, right, is a problem of Enaroi Bechala Torah Kula, right, is also pushed into thinking that it's not subject to be rehabilitated by Kiblo Alai. Right? But by the same token, what you might say for Tosus and the Tosa Rush is exactly the opposite. Now, let's assume that the Xos is right, that they too require Roy Lahoros Bechal Torah Kula. Right? But what you might say then is, for the very same reason that Kiblo Alai isn't the problem for them, well, that could be for another reason. It could be because Kiblo Alai isn't redeeming or rehabilitating. Maybe it's just Vizchaibos. But let's assume for the moment it is redeeming and rehabilitating. Meaning, through Kiblo Alai you can do this. Is that only because Kiblo Alai is much stronger than you think, or just as chayvus, or is also because the din of Geirus is a pgam and a psul, but it's not the kind of psul, it's not Asherah. Well, if it's not Asherah, maybe it's not a problem in Roy Lahoros Bechal Torah Kula either. I'm not saying they have to be Habatali, but it's an interesting issue. That's the first ksos. The second ksos, I'm going to have to stop in a second, I guess we'll finish this next time, but the second ksos deals with anybody? No one saw the ksos? No? I'll look it up for next time. But I'll just tell you very briefly. Summa bi'achas me'enav. Right? Itself. And the problem of yuchsin. So, here, you'll look it up for next time. And I mentioned also the Minchas Chinuch and Tavtzad Aleph, whatever.
Which one is it?
Where are the different ksosos that we should be looking at?
The one we're talking about? Zion Aleph is the one we just talked about. Okay. And the other one is Zion Beis. So the ksos speaks about whether or not Summa, in general, is a problem of Roy Lahoros Bechal Torah Kula. But then Agav, that, he says, you know, if you hold like the Rambam, what about, let's say, Eid Zomeim? Let's say an Eid Zomeim in Dine Maminus. So it's Kosher Lodun Bedine Nefashos, Upasal Dine Maminus. Vabedine Nefashos, Vabe Binan Smuchin, Vizayna Roy Lechol Advarim, Upasal Dine Maminus. Okay, so what about a Psul Lodun, right, in one Tchum of Halakha, but not another? If such a thing is possible, is that a problem in Neinu Roy Lahoros Bechal Torah Kula? And then he compares it, which is why I'm bringing it into our sugya. He says, "Hareu kemi she'eno baki b'mumin ta samuch l'chol advarim kedisa perakama de Sanhedrin gabe smicha the samuch l'rebi yora yora bi'al yater b'choris m'shum delo b'kiya b'mumin elakiva de'eno pop sulaguf yachal yischachim b'mumin ha'da samuch." There's a lot there, right? So, first of all, how did he read our Gemara? When we read the Gemara, he said there are two ways to read it. If you want to zero in on the Havamina, so the Gemara says that if you're not a Baki, maybe he wasn't a Baki, that's why he didn't get Smicha, Leyatir, or Rishos. By the way, he's calling it Smicha, you know. He's treating it this way again, another overlap. But anyways, he basically read the Gemara that, yeah, the Gemara ends up saying, yeah, Rav, he knew it, right? And he even spent time on the farm, right? 18 months on the farm. So Yeah. But that's just the Gemara's factual statement. What's more important for the Ksos is there was a snap Havamina that, you know, maybe he didn't get Yatir Bechoros on the Rishus level even, but he's assuming the same as Smicha, because he didn't know it. So what do you see? That Bekius is not a Din of Roy Lahoros from Kala Torah Kula. What does he do with the Rambam? So does he mean he knew the Yesodos, but he didn't know the detailed Dinim? Or he knew the detailed Dinim, but he didn't know, more likely, you know, the Halig of Korkavan? Right? So that's really fascinating. You don't have to read the Gemara that way. You could say that the Gemara is saying, what, he didn't get the... How is that possible? Not how is it possible he was Rav, he must have known everything. Like, how is that possible? Because he wouldn't be Roy Lahoris Bechol Tarakula. Or, maybe, Shiny Netilas Rishus Meresh Galusa. That's not Smicha. That's not the Yerushalmi and Chagiga or the Rambam. Right? There are other ways to get out of the Gemara. The Ksos taking a stand. He's also equating, you know, lack of knowledge with being pasul midin avera. And then he adds, for good measure, and what would be the din if a person was royal host b'chol Torah Kula, he got smicha, and then while he was a samuch, he did a ma'isa avera, or he had an attack of amnesia, or if assuming that was something that made him, or he became a summa b'yachas me'enav, does he lose a smicha? Or is it a din only in the beginning of the smicha, the onset of the smicha? And he's mechalek between Yuxin halachos and other halachos. Okay, so these are this is the Ksos. Look, and that's, those are the. I want to speak about that just a little bit more next time, and the Minchas Chinuch, and then just a few other haaros about the Erevin side and the Shulchan Aruch side of the sugya, and then we'll move on to Shara. Okay. Oh, and remind me also to speak about the Orchestra and the Sira and the Marie.
Okay.